No matter what the industry, business is a competition. And just like with any competition, those who show up ready and equipped, they'll win the prize, receive the support of the fans, or in this case, the customers. Most business owners see the way to that prize as providing service to the customer. Mineska says that it needs to go a little bit further than that. You need to be obsessed with your current and potential customers. And don't worry, this doesn't mean you'll be violating any stalking laws. He explains the foundation and elements of this idea in his new best-selling business book, Blueprint for Customer Obsession. He certainly knows what he speaks about, having provided companies including Amazon, J.P. Morgan Chase, Cisco Systems, and others with the tools to achieve this obsession and success that it results in. Welcome to the show, Marbury Brown. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing very well. Chris, thank you for having me on your show.
Well, thank you for offering not thought enough about element of business that business of every size should be looking at. Let me give you Marbury's website for his book, to customerobsession.net. We have a link over to homepage as well. And when we say customer obsession, is this, having read through your book, sir, it sounds like rather than being a business who reacts to others, it's trying to work to become the business others react to.
Well, absolutely. In fact, that's what customer-obsessed companies do. They don't obsess about their competitors. They obsess about their customers. And what you find is that the businesses that obsess about their customers wind up being the business that sets the standard and that other people snap to. But frankly, even those other people shouldn't be snapping to those businesses. They should be snapping to their customers. If you obsess about the customers, you always get it right.
So it's a matter of thinking of yourself as an individual, not part of the industry, because, well, not every member of the industry you're in is getting it right.
Look, it's absolutely correct, right? The thing is that when you work backwards from the customers and your mindset and everything is focused on the customers, you're going to not just build folks who are casual consumers. You're going to have folks who are rabid fans of your business, right? And, you know, I've seen this over and over. In the book, I share about 10 different companies. And when you look at those companies, you see they all tend to have rabid fans, you know, people who are going to camp out when they're opening a new store or when they're you know, like introducing a new product or something like that. People camp out, you know, for that. Or, you know, they just swear by these companies. So, you know, when it's time to shop or when it's time to fly or when it's time, you know, for an overnight stay somewhere, they just pick these same places over and over and over, right? They're not just casual consumers. They're rabid fans. They're always talking about these companies to anybody who will listen. They post about them, you know. That's what it's like when companies obsess over their customers in turn, you know, become fans. And, you know, who are some of these companies I'm talking about? I'm talking about companies like Amazon, Apple, Chewy, Costco, you know, Zappos. These are all companies that fit this description. And let me tell you, some people have been so fanatical, they've even tattooed, you know, logos from these companies on their bodies.
Having spent time, obviously, in radio a lot of time, as I'm growing to admit more and more frequently, as well as I actually spent time in the industry of pro wrestling on a freelance basis, unpredictability from the realms I've been in, not letting people know what's going to happen, but they want to come back because they want to find out what's going to happen. Is that an element that can be introduced in business to create that obsession?
Well, look, absolutely. You know, one of the companies I mentioned just now was Costco. And, you know, there's something that folks refer to almost as the Costco treasure hunt. Every time you're in there, they've got some stuff, you know, almost like Easter eggs for you to find. Right. And, you know, it's something that you didn't know that you needed until you saw it there and you saw it at the price that you saw it for. Right. And then you go ahead and buy that thing. And then, you know, you just keep on buying it over and over. Or maybe it's a one time purchase like Maybe it's a piece of jewelry, or maybe it is, you know, some sort of a new gadget for your home or something like that. So it's not something that you buy over and over, but you didn't necessarily know that you needed it until you were in the store and you saw it there and you saw the phenomenal price it was there for, and you said, you know what, I got to have this. You might not have had to have it if you didn't see it at the price you saw it for, but you did. And so that's just an example. But, hey, if you're at Trader Joe's, it's the same kind of thing. There's always something, you know, that's new to try, to test. And, again, you find yourself, you know, having tested that thing, going back over and over. And in the case of Trader Joe's, usually you can't find it in any other store, right? Just there.
That's it. Talking with business expert, customer expert, Marvin Brown. His book, Blueprint for Customer Obsession, customerobsession.net, the website. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. And those ideas you just mentioned, Marbro, they're a small, a mom and pop, an independent business doesn't need to make big splashes to make a lot of noise. Again, just the old saying, dare to be different.
Well, absolutely. They don't have to make a big splash to make a big noise. But I'll tell you what, there are some principles that they really do need to pay attention to. So I'll tell you something about customer-obsessed companies.
Okay.
They engage personally, they deliver exceptionally, and they connect emotionally, right? Now, look, when you walk into a business and you feel welcomed, right, you know, that makes a huge difference in the atmosphere. Sometimes you walk into a business and they make you feel like you just interrupted somebody's day. You run into somebody who is there because they're punching a clock, but didn't really feel like they wanted to be there that day. That doesn't give you the feeling that you want to come back, or maybe that you even want to finish that visit, you know, for the thing that you came there for. But when you walk in, somebody makes you feel welcome. They use your name. You know, they personalize the experience to you, right? That makes a huge difference in how you feel about that business and whether you want to come back there again. That's an important principle, right? Engaging personally. And there's some other aspects of engaging personally, but, you know, that's one of the ones that I want to share. But I'm going to skip over to connecting emotionally. Look, when you do business with a company and they pay attention to your life moments, they pay attention to what's important to you, you know, your kids, your pets, you know, different kinds of things like that. That makes a big difference in how you feel about doing business with those folks, but it also creates an emotional connection with them. And, of course, deliver exceptionally. When you get to a business, you go there for a reason. You have an objective that you want to accomplish, right? Now, they've got to be there in the moment, and they got to do that exceptionally well. If they, you know, mess it up, you're probably not going to want to go there again. You know, I was just on vacation, and there's a bunch of us who went out to eat together, and part of the order was gotten wrong. And I just thought to myself, that whole experience now has lost its luster, because we're all supposed to be eating together. But one person's entire plate has to be taken back and redone, right? And so it just destroys the ambiance. That's an example of folks not delivering exceptionally. But, you know, in a mom-and-pop shop, this is the kind of thing where, you know what, you have to deliver in the moment. Right.
Oh, sure.
Because, and that's what you have to architect for.
And when you're on a smaller stage, any stumble is going to be magnified that much more versus if you're an individual in a big box store.
Absolutely, it will be magnified more, and so that is the kind of thing that folks need to pay attention to. And so those three principles, right? Engaging personally, delivering exceptionally, and connecting emotionally. Mom and pop shops really do have to pay attention to that.
And it's really an opportune time because we've seen study after study. Everyone, that person listening to us right now, no doubt has had personal experiences as I have. I won't mention the names, but I've gone to a large supermarket nearby, and I've seen dollar stores look more neat and organized and better stocked than this place. I've gone to the big box store and couldn't even get an employee there to look at me, never mind acknowledge me. And I don't go back to those places. I'll spend a dollar or two more and go to mom and pop, which, by the way, mom and pop hopefully took advantage of the COVID lockdown, and those businesses who didn't think they need a website found out they needed one as one more means of engagement for customers. But this really is an opportune time for mom and pop to get the best of the big stores that they've been saying have been beating up on them all these years.
Absolutely. Look, now, even as you talk about the scenarios with COVID, let me give you an example. I'm going to use a store that's a reasonably large store, but let's just keep in mind that it didn't start off as a large store. Let me take an example of Trader Joe's. Look, before the pandemic, right, there was a case where there was a huge snowstorm. This lady's dad, a veteran, he was up there in years, and he had a habit of going to the store on a day-by-day basis and just picked up what he needed for the day. He would make his food and stuff like that. Well, when the snowstorm came, he was snowbound. He couldn't get out. And so she was concerned. And at that time, everybody wasn't delivering like they are now. So she was calling around to a bunch of different stores. And, nobody was delivering. So finally she called a Trader Joe's. They didn't deliver either, but they said they would deliver the groceries for this gentleman. So she went through a bunch of stuff that, she wanted to get for him. They suggested some stuff like that he had a special diet. They suggested some stuff that would be good too. You know, they put that all in. And then she was saying, okay, so, how much do I owe you now? And they said, no, you don't owe us anything. So they, took that whole order. They delivered it within 30 minutes. They didn't take a dime for it, right? Now, you can see that, of course, creates an emotional connection right there. That lady's always going to shop at Trader Joe's because they were there for her in that life moment when she needed it the most, right? And, that's the way businesses have to think. They have to think about, those life moments. They have to think about scenarios where you have a situation where something goes wrong. It may not even be the business's fault. It might be your fault. But they kind of overlook that and help you solve it anyway, right? I think of the lady who had ordered some shoes and realized that she put the wrong zip code. She put the right address, but with the wrong zip code, the item wound up in a different place. She tried to get the carrier to deliver it to the right place for her. They said they couldn't do it. But the company Zappos, who she actually bought the items for, they shipped her a replacement, upgraded her so that she could, get it faster. That creates an emotional connection. This is the kind of thing that even small businesses have to be thinking. How do I create that emotional connection with my customers?
And certainly, too, when people these days are social media addicts, they'll have multiple thousands of followers and fans on Facebook and Twitter. They post one great thing about one local business. That local business is going to reap a whole lot of benefits. And for you listening, what Marbrew writes about in his book, Blueprint for Customer Obsession, these are the ideas. We always hear about the stories of the companies that are folding, bankrupting, going away. But he focuses on the companies who have survived. And why have they survived? They've implemented the tactics that he has suggested in many cases. And again, just thinking of how to succeed by creating a connection. It sounds challenging. It sounds like a mountain, but what Marbrew writes about with Blueprint for Customer Obsession is creating that obsession so that you reap the benefits, your business grows, your customers are happy, word spreads, and the success continues to grow. It's really a lot easier than you think, and you might be eliminating yourself from a great deal of potential, but Marble's book is the wake-up call and the empowerment that you are going to benefit from. Learn more at customerobsession.net. Marble Brown, thank you so much for the ways that you help every business owner at every level understand that whatever they're doing, there's always potential for more, for greater, and how to achieve it. Thanks for being here today.
Hey, thank you so much, Chris. I really enjoyed being with you. And hey, if folks want to continue the conversation, just like you said, they can reach me on customerobsession.net. Or if they want to get a copy of the book, they can get a copy of the book on Amazon.com. Thanks again. Really appreciate it.